Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate with Josh Cohen on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Josh Cohen.
No Josh Cohen on this Friday, but Colin Russo filling in. Hi, everybody. Good morning on a beautiful Saturday on 106.3 ESPN. It is Saturday Tailgate at the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studio. Car accidents, truck accidents, slip and fall. My friends at Anajar and Levine, they will fight for you. They don't get paid unless you do. They will fight for you for the maximum compensation you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's Anajar and Levine difference. It takes one phone call to take back control of your life. Take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Well, it's a beautiful Saturday, and most notably, it's week one of college football. A lot to be excited about today. A couple of ranked matchups that we'll get in throughout the show. College football had a couple of notable games over Thursday and Friday. We'll get into that. Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, I'll bring in my tennis fans. They lost in the third round of the U.S. Open. We'll get into that a little bit in the latter half of the show. Going to be a whole lot of fun. It's myself, Colin Russo, joined by Damian Perez behind the glass. You'll hear from him. And we'll have the phone lines open. We are live from the studios here in downtown West Palm. Phone lines are going to be open all show long. So we want to hear from you, the fans, college football, tennis. You want to talk baseball, we can make it happen. NFL, we'll talk it all. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Now, I want to start, and Damian, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. I want to start with a big consistency I'm seeing when it comes to college football. It's early. We haven't seen the first week one yet. We haven't seen the entire slate played out. But my problem, I have a problem with college football. And I think a big problem that people get misconstrued about when it comes to college football is you almost forget coming into the year how many blowouts there are. And I know this is all supposed to change. I know the idea of the expanded playoff is supposed to alleviate that regular season pressure and teams getting out of it and their seasons being done. I understand that. And you'll probably feel that towards the latter half of the year. But it's almost comical how many games are 65-0, 48-7, 35-3. And I understand these teams want to schedule a tune-up game earlier in the year. The offense is sloppy. There's 1,000 new transfers. There's coaching carousels. But there's, what, 6 games that might be close?
Yeah. Man, first of all, good morning. Collins, good to be here. Start our Saturday off right, our weekend off right. Football all day. But absolutely, man, if you look at the scores from earlier on the week on Thursday, I mean, we got Missouri 51-0 against Murray State, 48-3 Kansas over Lindwood, 49-0 Utah over Southern Utah. I know it's week one, but man, you got a point. These blowouts are getting kind of out of hand.
And it's interesting because I think there's always a little bit of a competition between what people like about college football versus what people like about professional football. I think at its best, in a great, great game, college football is hard to beat, right?
It's super fun to watch.
The ambiance is there. The fandom's a little stronger. It's got a Saturday feel. It's a little more raw and less perfected. That's why I think people love college football. But to that point, there is such a disparity between the top level teams in college football versus the bottom level teams in college football that it's hard to get a feel. You're watching a game. This Georgia-Clemson game is a top 15 matchup, and that game might be a 25-point game.
Yeah, minimum.
It's a 13-point spread. We'll get into our picks on the spreads. Of course, so none of these picks are just my own, and I don't anticipate anybody taking picks off of what I think, but I will give my picks off of Hard Rock Bet later in the show. But That top 15 matchup today might be a 15-point game. That, to me, is reflective of a larger problem of parity in college football. And I understand Furman is not going to keep up with Ole Miss. I understand that. But in terms of the actual landscape of college football, there are so many blowouts.
Absolutely. And it's almost like some of these games, they're almost like fillers, you know? Teams like Georgia, they're trying to get that undefeated record. They're waiting for the big matchups at the end of the season. So these early games, they could be sort of flex your muscles, fillers, show them what we got. Let's get adapted to the season and let's beat up on some smaller teams. But to your point, I think to the fandom, if you're a big Georgia fan, there's nothing better than watching on Saturday at noon your team just absolutely beat up, and you don't have to stress, you don't have to worry. All you got to do is cheer for your team, Georgia Bulldogs, to absolutely smash a team early on Sunday or Saturday.
And to that point, it's fun. I'm not saying I'm not excited, but I'm trying to think reflectively here. It's going to be hard for me to preview a bunch of teams that I haven't seen yet this year. I could go through the whole slate and give my thoughts, but at the end of the day, it's week one. It's hard to get a feel. But what I have seen is a number of teams that have played close games. I'll get into Colorado a little later. I have some thoughts on them. And Wisconsin. I went to Wisconsin, so I have plenty of thoughts on them. We could get into that a little later. But generally, there's a whole lot of blowouts. And this is what college football is, and I understand that. To me, it bothers me. Does it bother you? Or do you care? Does college football feed you just enough to be satisfied with their 3 to 5 games a week that will be close?
I'll be honest. The games are so electric that it doesn't matter to me. I would like to see a closer matchup. But like you said, those closer matchups will come. And I think with this new format, it will help to the competitiveness of this year's teams. But personally, I love to watch these teams beat up on teams.
You love watching a blowout. Explain that to me. You like seeing just a team firing on all cylinders against a bunch of guys who have no NIL money, who are probably playing on walk-ons. That you like that?
Well, not really. Like, for example, the Colorado game, a lot of people were expecting that game to be a blowout. A lot of people were thinking Colorado was going to come in, just absolutely beat on North Dakota State. But it ended up being a competitive game. For whatever reason, in my opinion, I think the defenses were horrible, so both teams were just doing whatever they wanted out there. I don't like to see teams beat up on other teams. I don't like to see blowouts, but it's what we got. And in reality, this new format, I think, will help with that. I really do, and I think it's just week one, but we'll see towards the end when those bigger matchups come and those in-conference games with the new conferences come, it will get better.
I agree, and you know what? We're not even in full conference play yet except for a handful of teams, so I'm not worried. But it's almost like I forget that it happened, and then I forget that this is what it's like, and then week one kind of is a bit of a wake-up call as to what college football is like, you know? And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing remains to be seen with the expanded playoff. There's going to be now 12 teams in the mix, which I'm excited for, and I think that's good for the game. But nonetheless, I think the state of the blowouts in college football is a bit of a problem. And there's nothing you could do about it because now there's money and there's teams that have $100 million, $20 million if you're Ohio State on one roster, comparatively to, you know, the mid-level Big Ten team.
Yeah, that's why a lot of the kids are coming back.
Or the Big 12 teams that they probably have a million to spare.
Yeah.
So it's
NIL deals. That changed
the disparity.
Game, absolutely.
College football has the ambiance. College football has the tradition. College football has, like you said, the electricity. What college football does not have is the parity. And I don't know if that'll ever fix. But nonetheless, a couple games we saw throughout the last two nights, I would say. We saw Florida State play last week. We get into that a little bit, I guess. But Florida State against Georgia Tech in Dublin. Plenty of Florida State fans here at the 106.3 ESPN West Palm offices. And the way they explained it to me was I was going to see about 4 or 5 Hall of Famers on that Florida State offensive line because, you know, redshirt senior, all over the offensive line. That offensive line stunk. That team stunk. And you can get into DJU all you want, too, but they lost 15 starters, and you could feel it. I'm not impressed with Florida State. Georgia Tech played with guts. I'll give them that.
If I were an FSU fan, that game would have left me stressed.
Florida State did what Miami does. They come in with high expectations, and then that first game, they bring you back down to reality. They just pulled to Miami.
But I think in this case, DJU has bounced around. You know, he was at Clemson. He was at Oklahoma State. Now he's at FSU. He's never proved it. And now you're off on week zero. You had a horrible start because, let's be honest, losing to Georgia Tech is a horrible start. You were expected to win, and you were expected to win comfortably.
If you transfer twice, there's a problem. That's 100%. What I would say. So that's my take on FSU, but I'll get into Colorado next segment. Excuse me. But FSU, they drop. They got Boston College this week. Couple games over the week that we saw. Wisconsin, I'm a Wisconsin guy. Give me 2 minutes on this. Wisconsin, second year under Luke Fickell, supposed to be a highly touted head coach. They got him out of Cincinnati. Wisconsin gets the Miami boy, Tyler Van Dyke, the transfer up. They return a whole lot of players. They revamp that entire defense. They get Phil Longo, who is a guy who got the best out of Drake May at UNC at offensive coordinator, air raid guy. They got Mike Tressel, a guy who has been in and out of Ohio State. So, and Cincinnati. They have a lot of big-name coaches. Wisconsin yesterday had their home opener against Western Michigan yesterday. And they were down 14-13 in the fourth quarter. That is a disgrace. 14-13 in the fourth quarter. They won it 28-14. That is not reflective of the game I watched. They stunk. And I know a win is a win. People love saying that. It's only a win is a win when it comes to a Big Ten team. If Georgia, Bama, I know they're not the same level, Tennessee wins a game they should have won by 7, everybody's in flames. But it's okay if it's a Big Ten team. That's my take on Wisconsin. 28-14, they were down 14-13 in the fourth quarter. They go to 1-0. Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback, he did nothing all game. Nothing.
To look at the bright side in that game, the second half was an 18-7 game. I know the final score was 28-14, right. And Western Michigan shouldn't be putting up 14 on
and
you.
Yeah, I know a lot of this is, you're going to see some ugly offense all weekend. I understand that. You're at home. That's a problem.
But to your point, there's expectations this year for Wisconsin. A lot of transfers came in, and I'm sure they came in to win.
Well, they brought in Van Dyke. Everybody was telling me that Van Dyke, you know, he had 2 years ago, he was an NFL prospect, and then Rhett Lashley goes to SMU, and then he falls off the map. Well, I'll get my thoughts on Miami later. I have a big opinion on Mario Cristobal. But I want to talk about Colorado and what I personally think about them. I have major problems with Colorado and, more importantly, with how Colorado is covered. We get into that and more next at Saturday Tailgate. Colin Russo filling in live from the studios here in downtown West Palm. We are live today. Phone lines are going to be open 888-760-3776. We talk about Colorado next. Don't go anywhere. Take a quick break.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate with Josh Cohen on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Josh Cohen.
No Josh Cohen on this Saturday morning, but we are here live. It's Colin Russo and Damian Perez taking you to 10 a.m. Week 1 of college football kicking off soon. We're at the Anajar and Levine Studios live here in downtown West Palm. Saturday Tailgate. Brought to you in part by our friends at X Golf West Palm Beach. It's new to West Palm Beach, but it's the world's most accurate golf simulators. Welcoming players of any level, bring your own clubs or rent some at the place. We're at fully stocked bar, great food, excellent service, 8 TVs. They got 9 indoor golf bays, energized in a vibrant atmosphere, not only for just golf, large event space for parties, events. Follow them on Instagram, XGolfWPD. Max Homa says their technology is the most accurate I've ever seen in the simulator space. 1900 Okeechobee Boulevard, grand opening coming soon. X Golf, West Palm Beach. I alluded to it last segment. Colorado played on Thursday night, and of course you heard about it because national media outlets feed you Colorado like it's Thanksgiving dinner. Colorado beat North Dakota State at home 31-26. It was a back-and-forth game. Colorado pulled ahead a little bit in the second half. But it was an entertaining game, at the very least. It was. North Dakota State was leading for a sizable percentage of that game. 20-14, 17-14, 20-17. And Colorado pulled ahead. Here's my take on Colorado. Number one, I'll start with the media coverage. Now, I know we are an ESPN affiliate, and I got to tread lightly here. The ESPN Instagram, I'll just say the number. The ESPN Instagram, by my calculations on Instagram, posted Colorado Thursday night 18 times. 18 times.
That's it?
SportsCenter posted 13 times. And that's not counting Bleacher Report. That's not counting the other aggregators, whatever it is. It's not counting all of that. 18 times posting Colorado. Every national show in the country led with Colorado. For the record, that is why I'm doing Colorado, not because of Colorado. I'm doing it because of the coverage of Colorado. Colorado drives me crazy. And I don't think Deion is a bad guy. I don't even think he's that bad of a coach. But it's so much of a branded me environment for a college football team. It's almost too much. The problem with that team, from what I saw against North Dakota State, who is always an underrated opponent, I'm not sure why they'd schedule them week one at home. The problem with that team is they got two surefire pros in Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Surefire pros. Probably first round picks nearing the top 10. Probably. And other than Horn Jr., who they got out of UCF, I believe, the rest of the team absolutely stinks. They're terrible. They cannot defend. They cannot stay in front of anything. Shiloh Sanders had about four late hits. The offensive line was okay. It's still not great. And their running game is completely non-existent. They abandoned the run game. That's why it's hard to gauge Shedeur Sanders' stats. He had 440 passing yards. It's hard to gauge that when you don't run the ball. They are going to get steamrolled when it matters. Once again, I'll never forget last year, week four or whatever, when they played Oregon and everybody thought it would be the game of the year. Oregon won by about 60 points. I think everybody's sick of Colorado. You know what? I'm sick of Colorado. I don't think anybody else is yet. Because unfortunately, Colorado did 5 million on Thursday, which is a good rating for a Thursday night football college football game. We're between unranked teams, one of them we have FCS. That is a good rating. It's not as good as last year, but it's good. That's why they posted. I have a major problem with that. I think the overconsumption of Colorado highlights the wrong things with college football. I am so over Colorado, but they won 31-26. They moved to 1-0. You know, they got the revamped schedules. They're at Nebraska next week. Maybe that's more interesting than North Dakota State, I'll tell you that. They have a couple ranked matchups. It's not going to be as much of a gauntlet as the Pac-12 was last year. But that team stinks. Hunter's a great player. And the people that think Hunter's going to play both ways in the NFL, you need your head examined. He's not doing that. I think he should be a corner. There's less great corners than there are great receivers. But that's just my opinion. He might be better at receiver. Nonetheless, the over expansion and the over coverage of Colorado absolutely drives me crazy. Too much posts. These guys breathe on the sideline. There's a video about it. If they're walking in, they got a new pair of jeans. It's page six. I don't get it. I think Colorado, for a team that once again does not look to be that good, I think the infatuation with it highlights the wrong things with college football.
Totally, and you're spot on. Colorado allowed 449 yards and forced zero turnovers. That's unsustainable. You're not going to go against Nebraska. They're going to struggle. You can't put up 30 plus against every team in the nation this year. The running game, Shedeur Sanders had 445 air yards. Total yards for Colorado, 504. That leaves around 60 yards on the run game.
That's terrible.
That's just terrible. That's unsustainable. You cannot make it to a bowl game this way. They got to correct things on the offensive line. They got to correct things defensively. And they got to figure out a run game. Because if you got a run game, it also helps up Shedeur. It gives them the play action, which now, the way that that game went, no one is going to bite for that play action. So they got to figure things out.
In Shadur's defense, I think he's going to be a good player. But I'd almost be afraid to stay away because you hop on the Deion train if you're an NFL team and you bring in Shedeur. And I'm not saying Deion is a bad person to have around. He's good publicity. He's good for brands. But we haven't seen that Deion is a good football coach. And in terms of Deion getting these guys on the front page, we have no idea if that's more important to him or being on the right franchise. I almost wouldn't want to deal with it. I don't know if it's worth it. If the Las Vegas Raiders have a chance to get Shedeur Sanders, and I think he spits a Raider, I think Deion could very well go into his media and say he's not going to Las Vegas. He's not doing it. Somebody else pick him.
Dallas Cowboys.
What do you expect the Cowboys to do? Do you expect them to lose 15 games so they could get a chance that he's going to be a top 10 pick?
I think it's far-fetched, but if you think about it, they still have not re-signed Dak Prescott. Maybe there is some looming thoughts that they can try and figure out a way to get to a spot.
Yeah, I think that would be crazy to do it because all of a sudden then you're losing your prime of Lamb, Parsons, Diggs, offensive line.
But your brand. The brand, which is what's important.
And that's what Jerry Jones cares about.
You're right, Jerry Jones.
I think that's a ludicrous storyline that has followed the NFL the past couple days is that Cowboys are gearing up. I think they should pay Prescott, and I think they will.
Absolutely.
I think Prescott is pretty patient, so I think that's why he's giving him benefit of the doubt. Nonetheless, Saturday tailgate, Colin Russo filling in for Josh Cohen, Damian Perez. You just heard him behind the glass. 106.3 ESPN brought to you in part by our pals over at Bud's Chicken and Seafood. Bud's Chicken and Seafood, it's home of the perfect lunch bunch. Hand-breaded and fried to perfection, fresh and dippable. That's what Bud's does for every meal. Right now, get the Chicken Finger Lunch Bunch with crinkle-cut fries and a medium drink for under $10. Or Bud's other chicken, fish and shrimp sandwiches and platters, all cooked fresh. Order online and go to one of Bud's 6 locations. Bud's Chicken and Seafood. Yum. Yum. Now, it's interesting. I want to get into a couple of picks soon, but those are my thoughts on Colorado. I think I'm a little over Colorado, and I know they're going to be force-fed until they lose their fourth game, and then all of a sudden
one last thought on Colorado.
Go ahead.
I know our industry's loving them, the journalist, everything, ESPN. Vegas, I think, is in love with Colorado as well because I think people blindly bet Colorado no matter what the spread is. They don't think, they don't analyze. I mean, Colorado opened at -9, closed at -11. They weren't even close to cover. They were close to covering, but you knew if you were watching that game that you were always.
Vegas knows what Colorado is. I don't think the public does.
And I think they love them. I think Vegas loves Colorado.
Yeah, and this is not me throwing shade to Sanders and Hunter. I think both of those guys are good players and definitely worthy of being professional. But I think the rest of the team, maybe other than Horn, have a problem. That's my thoughts on that. Let's get into our Hard Rock Bet Picks of the Week. Alrighty. Hard Rock Bet. Our pals over at Hard Rock Bet, Florida's only legal sportsbook. It's easy sign up, fast deposits, withdrawals, PayPal, Venmo. You can use cards, whatever you got. Hundreds of props, parlays, live play-by-play betting across every sport. You can bet anywhere from the state of Florida. All you have to do is get started and download the Hard Rock Bet app in the App Store or go online to hardrock.com. Bet. Try Hard Rock Bet now and get up to $100 back if your first bet does not win. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMITTED. So I was looking through the lines today, and this alluded to my earlier point about blowouts. I saw about five lines that were in the 30s. How do you... Where's the fun in that? That's my take on that.
They cover, though.
I know. And the problem is they're incredibly accurate. That's why...
It's scary.
It's scary how accurate it is. But of the picks and the lines that I did like, here's just a few. Let me add a disclaimer as well. These are my picks. These are what I will be taking. I am by no means encouraging anybody listening.
This is what stood out and spoke to you when
this
you looked at the board.
This is what sang to me. I'm not saying this is what needs to be taken. This is what sang to me. Number one, Ohio, MAC school, taking on Syracuse on the road. Syracuse, mind you, coming off a Boca Bowl loss. Boca Bowl right here in South Florida. They lost that one to USF 45-0. But Ohio, plus 17.5 on the road. I understand. 17.5 is a large line for Syracuse. I know they're bringing in Kyle McCord and they got the new head coach and everybody's all handy dandy about that. But what that tells me is that the offense is not going to be picture perfect week one. Ohio 17.5 sang to me. Plus 17.5, University of Ohio.
That's a great call because I don't know how anybody can trust Syracuse to cover 17 after what we saw in the Boca Bowl right here in front of us.
They were
in Boca Raton.
Horrendous, and I understand, you know, you're not fielding everybody, and it's hard to get these guys motivated for a bowl game. But to that point, 17.5, that's a 3-touchdown game. I don't know if that will happen. I like Ohio coming off a pretty good year. Going to compete in the MAC. I think that 17.5 line is favorable. That's my first one that sang to me. Another one that sang to me, I think this is going to be, I'm surprised this is the line, to be honest with you. But we have a ranked matchup tonight, 7:30 kickoff. Texas A&M and Notre Dame. Texas A&M in that game is -2.5. So it's essentially a pick 'em. Unless, you know, that's usually how that goes. +2.5, likely close to a pick 'em. Texas A&M's at home. They're at Kyle Field. 100,000 people are going to be there. Everybody hates Notre Dame, including myself. Notre Dame's coming in with a new quarterback. They lost a handful of guys on the offensive end. They have a young offensive line. They have a great defense. I understand that. Notre Dame has a great defense. A&M's coming in. They got Mike Elko from Duke, the head coach. So they got in a new head coach who everybody loves. And who did that guy usually used to coach at Duke? Riley Leonard, Notre Dame starting quarterback. Texas A&M will know how to beat him. And I think Notre Dame, like always, is going to have some early growing pains. I don't think they're as good as advertised. I don't think Marcus Freeman is as good as advertised. Give me Texas A&M -2.5 at home against Notre Dame tonight. Notre Dame is number 7. Notre Dame has an easy route to the playoff. They just have to lose 1 to 2 games all year, and then they're okay.
It got even easier with this new format, too.
Yeah, they're not going to get any automatic bid, but they can set their own schedule. They have no conference championship. They have a one or two game leeway, and then they'll be okay.
And I would say Notre Dame last year was built to make that run, and they struggled all season.
Well, Notre Dame always has one or two terrible losses a year. I remember 2 years ago they had that terrible loss to Marshall. But this is... I think Notre Dame is so overrated to begin with, but this is they're doing the exact same thing they did last year. They brought in Sam Hartman, a prolific ACC passer out of Wake Forest, and he was solid for them, but he didn't really pan out the way they wanted him to. And it didn't really work out. Had an off year, rinse and repeat. Now, they got a new offensive coordinator. They got the guy from LSU, Coach Jaden Daniels, to an MVP season last year. And they brought in Riley Leonard, the quarterback at Duke. Struggled with injuries, but he's a big body guy, dual threat.
I like that pickup, especially after losing Sam Hartman.
Hartman's a little more of a pocket passer. This guy is a little bit more of both.
More dynamic.
Maybe that fits Notre Dame, what they want to do a little more. So maybe they'll be a little better. But what I do think is that there's going to be growing pains.
Definitely.
And you could say the same thing for Texas A&M, but they're at home. It's hard for me to take a road dog like that week one. That game, that place can be. And listen, Texas A&M, they lose with the best of them. I think that is a good pick because of the new coach. They're bringing back Weigman, their quarterback for Texas A&M, who got hurt last year. We know they have a plethora of prospects all over the field. They're going to have a good offensive line and a great defensive line. Notre Dame's going to have three sophomores and two freshmen starting at the offensive line. An offensive line, which Notre Dame usually has one of their best position groups. And they're going to be young. Texas A&M -2.5. Kyle Field tonight. That game will kick off at 7:30. Colin Russo here. Saturday tailgate. Damian Perez at the Anjard and Levine Studios in downtown West Palm. Saturday morning, phone lines are open. 888-760-3776. You disagree with any of my picks. Or if you think Colorado's the greatest thing since sliced bread, call in and let me know. 888-760-3776. Last one. Here's one that should resonate with South Florida residents. Florida-Miami in Gainesville today. That is a 3:30 kick. Miami ranked, I believe, number 19.
Correct, 19.
And Florida unranked. Florida's been a topic of conversation this college football offseason for all the wrong reasons. Because they have as a gauntlet of a schedule as I've ever seen in college football. And Billy Napier's on the hot seat, their head coach.
And they lost arguably their best player in Travis Etienne.
Yeah, Trevor Etienne. Trevor Etienne, fun fact too, the Georgia starting running back now is suspended for week one game against Clemson. Just came out. Undisclosed reasons. I believe it had something to do with driving. Take a guess. It's a Georgia player. And it sounds like the team has suspended him for week one against Clemson. Georgia -12.5-point favorite. That game kicks off at 12 o'clock today. Neutral site. Trevor Etienne suspended for the first game. But they lost Trevor Etienne, you're right. But they're returning their quarterback. They're returning their head coach. They have a handful of guys in the secondary that were rough last year, but they should be a little bit more organized this year. You know what I like? At home, Gainesville, Florida +2.5. Florida is a home underdog. An SEC team.
So you're going with Florida.
Is a home underdog against Miami. Give me Florida.
Love it.
And
I love it.
Listen, you could call in and scream to me, wax poetic, about how great Cam Ward is or great Cristobal is and how many great prospects Miami has. It's all the same. We've heard this about Miami for years. And there's a philosophy that I'm taking with this. Miami. They do this every year where they have a inside and out of new prospects coming in, five stars. They poach guys all around South Florida, which has great high school football. We know that. They have NIL at the wazoo. They have as much as they need. But they never have really been able to put it together until they made the big splash with Cam Ward. I understand. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. That's number one. And two, Mario Cristobal is the quarterback killer. So I'm not sure how great Cam Ward is going to be with Mario Cristobal under helm. Because Mario Cristobal, he made Herbert look bad. And Herbert came in and had 37 touchdowns his rookie season. Let's calm down. What we know that Miami is going to have, they're going to have a great offensive line. They're going to have a pretty freaking good secondary. That's what we know Miami's going to be really, really good at. A good pass rush, too. Florida +2.5. Graham Mertz is coming back. He plays a safe game, only 3 interceptions last year. And you know what I think that's Florida that's going to motivate them? They need that game.
And they're home dogs.
They're home dogs. I would bet any amount of money that is a big focal point in their game plan.
Definitely.
That, hey, Vegas doesn't trust us. Use it as fuel.
It puts that chip on the shoulder.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're playing a rival like UM.
It's almost like you got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
And I think that could be dangerous because Florida's got about 6 ranked teams in a row in the latter half of the season.
Exactly. In reality, Florida has a lot to lose.
Florida has a ton to lose. And I'm Napier's thinking about whether he can make it to the second half of the season to even see that part of the schedule.
Favorite to be fired by Vegas.
Favorite to be fired by Vegas. And they need that game. That's a pride game for Florida. I don't know if it's a pride game for Miami. I know it's a rivalry and it's Florida and everything like that. Miami does not need that game. It's out of conference. They have no, they play Florida State, and that's really it the rest of the year. They don't have that hard of a schedule. And they see how wide open, unless Clemson comes out and competes with Georgia, that ACC is going to be wide open. They're not going to need to do too much to get into that game and get a bid. Which is weird to say because they get their automatic bid and then the bye in that college football playoff. I don't think Miami, that might be the toughest matchup they have all year, and maybe there's an argument to that. But I don't think Miami needs this game as much as Florida does. Florida, they're playing for jobs. They're playing for pride. They're playing to keep Napier in the seat. And they're playing to prove a point. Now, I don't think Florida's just, you know, going to come out and be a top 15 team all of a sudden. But if you could have a pride win here or there, I think that today will be the example. 3:30 p.m. kickoff Eastern time in Gainesville.
That would definitely be a statement for either team, honestly. So to recap, you got UF plus 2.5, Texas A&M minus 2.5.
Yep, minus 2.5 at home against Notre Dame.
And the last one was
Ohio plus 17.5 at Syracuse.
Honestly, that's my favorite one.
That's your favorite
one? I love
that
one. That's my favorite one.
None of these picks I encourage anybody else to take. I am by no means a professional gambler, but our friends at Hard Rock Bet, we see the lines, we have fun doing it. We encourage you to do that as well. Just not my picks, maybe somebody else's picks. If you like my picks, you can make it on your own accord. But those are my three picks. Those are the three that I enjoy. That was our Hard Rock Bet segment on our Hard Rock Bet picks for week one of college football. Saturday tailgate, Colin Russo filling in for Josh Cohen. It's Damian Perez behind the glass at the Anajar and Levine's studio in downtown West Palm. Having a good time here. Going to take you right into kickoff. A couple more things about college football. Also, for our tennis fans out there on the other side, let's talk about Novak Djokovic getting knocked out. Carlos Alcaraz getting knocked out. Musetti getting knocked out. U.S. Open is as wide open as we've ever seen. We get into that and more. Finish off our college football talk next. It's Saturday Tailgate. Colin Russo here.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate with Josh Cohen on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Josh Cohen.
No Josh Cohen in this morning. Colin Russo here's got you till 10 o'clock. Damian Perez joining me behind the glass. It's Saturday Tailgate at the Anajar and Levine Studios in downtown West Palm. College football week one kicking off. U.S. Open in full flesh, full form. A week until NFL football. A whole lot going on in sports. New lineup launching on ESPN West Palm 106.3. Theoretically speaking, you've formerly heard them 5 to 6 weekdays with Theo Dorsey and Christian Katt. They now move to 2 to 4 p.m. weekdays. This is launching Tuesday after the holiday weekend. 2 to 4, theoretically speaking, moving time slots, expanding the show. Going to be a whole lot of fun. And myself and Mike Rizzo will be doing Russo and Rizzo 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays as well. Don't miss it. Going to be a whole lot of fun. Whole lot of great guests. It's going to be a lot of arguments. We're going to settle that over the week. That launches Tuesday. Don't miss it. New ESPN West Palm 106.3 lineup. Russo and Rizzo 4 to 6, theoretically speaking, 2 to 4. Saturday Tailgate brought to you in part by Andrologix. Their physicians specialize in providing hormone replacement therapy. It's all they do. For over 2 decades, they've been improving the lives of thousands of men just like you. They've been treating and beating low T for over 20 years. This is science, not promise. From the boardroom to the bedroom, their doctors design custom testosterone replacement therapies that can be shipped right to your door. Your body chemistry is just as unique as your fingerprint. There's no one-size-fits-all solution that works for everybody. There's no such thing as a miracle pill that will bring back the testosterone you had in your 20s. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get started today. Visit Andrologix.com. That's Andrologix.com. Now, I got to bring this up. I'm not sure how happy everybody's going to be about it, but it's a story. I could sit here and preview Georgia-Clemson, two teams I have not watched this year, and give my prediction. I think that's a waste of time. What's not a waste of time, the U.S. Open taking place in New York. And a couple storylines that have come out of that. The top three players in the world, Jannik Sinner, Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, have fallen underneath a little bit in the storylines the last few days. Number one, Yannick Sinner had the doping case with the PEDs. It sounds like he didn't know that his team was giving him performance-enhancing substances. He got nailed for that. He's still playing, however. And then Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz. Novak Djokovic, mind you, fresh off an Olympic gold medal at the Olympics a couple weeks ago. They have been knocked out, both, by Alcaraz straight sets to an unranked opponent and Djokovic to Papyrin the Australian in the third round of the U.S. Open. Djokovic last night, Alcaraz 2 days ago. Those two are out. This is as wide open as it comes for the U.S. Open. And now, for the last major of the season, it's interesting. You got a couple Americans still in the mix. You got Tiafoe still in the mix. You got Fritz still in the mix. You got Paul still in the mix. And then, you got Zverev, who has as clear of a route as he's ever seen to a Grand Slam. And you get a handful of others that might make a dent, and Sinner's still playing. Sinner got round three today, so we'll see what happens there. But no Alcaraz, no Djokovic, and Musetti from Italy, who was the bronze place finisher at the Olympics, mind you, has also lost in the third round. And I think the theme surrounding that is those three players specifically, because they had a longer in between Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. And I think the fact that they had the Olympics and it was basically a whole additional tournament despite it being shorter matches, I think they treated that as the other Grand Slam. And I think the theme surrounding it is it took a bit out of them. Djokovic and Alcaraz lost in straight sets. Came out post-game, post-match, and said, essentially, I do not make adjustments, and he played better than me. Djokovic came last night. He said, if he's serving like that to about Papyrin, the Australian, who's ranked 28, I believe, he came out and said, hey, he played better than me. He beat me. Now it's wide open. Him and Carlos are out. Can an American capitalize, win in New York? We're going to see Zverev again. Sinner. It's going to be an interesting finish to the U.S. Open in tennis. But I think the theme surrounding that is that the fact that there was the Olympics and Djokovic and Alcaraz both went all out to secure that gold medal, I think it took a bit out of them physically. But I also think mentally, from a focus standpoint, that Grand Slam, that Olympics, felt like the final Grand Slam in the season. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I had a question for you. With Djokovic at 37 years old, do you think that Olympic medal was his last hurrah, was his last hurdle?
Now, it's funny you bring that up. This is the first year since 2017 that Novak Djokovic is not going to win anything in the calendar Grand Slam, any title in the Grand Slams. So everybody's saying, oh, we've seen the end of Djokovic. No. I think Djokovic, he wants to get to, I think he's at 24 right now. He wants to get to 25. And
I mean, he's one of the most competitive tennis players.
He's healthy. He's going to get one or two more. And then I don't know if he'll be within a year, 2 years. He loves playing. He doesn't have to deal with Nadal and Federer. He really just has to deal with Alcaraz. Sinner's not really there yet. I think he's got one or two slams left to him. I think he wants to get the record. I believe he's at 24. I'll have to double check that. But he wants to get to 25. So I don't think this is the end of Djokovic. I think he just got burnt. You saw how good he was in that Olympics finals in Paris.
24 Grand Slams.
24 Grand Slams. He wants to get 25. And he will get that. I'm not worried about Djokovic. He's won 4 U.S. Opens. It wasn't as important to him. He wanted that gold medal. He hasn't had a gold medal. Novak Djokovic out. Carlos Alcaraz out. Wide open U.S. Open. 3 Americans. Tiafoe. Ben Shelton lost yesterday, 2 Tiafoe, 5-set match. A terrific match.
Great match.
Terrific.
Great match.
Shelton fell apart a little bit in the 5th set. Looks like he got tightened up a little bit, a little stiff.
He had a little slip there at the end, too.
You know, Tiafoe, unforced errors, too, was a popular stat I saw on that one.
It was like 58 to like
Ben
20-something.
58 to 27.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Unforced errors, Ben Shelton against Tiafoe. Can't beat yourself like that. Shelton, we know how great his serve is. The return game needs to improve. But Fritz, Tommy Paul, and Tiafo now, the Americans that are really at have an opportunity here to take advantage of no Alcaraz and no Djokovic left in the U.S. Open. And I'm not sure how afraid people are of Sinner, despite him being number one.
Yeah, Tiafoe benefits a lot from the Djokovic mishap because now Tiafoe plays against Popperin, which he would have played against Djokovic. So this is a great chance for Tiafoe.
Good chance for him. There's our tennis talk. I wonder when the last time there was tennis talk on this 106.3 ESPN, but I'm happy we did it. But it's interesting, that U.S. Open, I'm not going to say it wasn't important, and I'm going to write it off, but I think from a physicality standpoint, they were burnt. And I think from a mental standpoint as well, it's not a normal year. They didn't treat it like a normal year. And because of that, I think you felt that in the U.S. Open, and you felt that with Djokovic and Alcaraz, who made runs, and Musetti, who made runs in the men's singles for the Olympics.
I mean, we haven't seen an American win the U.S. Open since Steffens did it in 2017. Mm-hmm. So this is a great chance to bring it up. I know you said not much tennis is talked about, but this would be the perfect time.
Perfect time.
We can see an American win the U.S. Open for the first time since 2017.
Tommy Paul plays today, 2 o'clock. And also, another thing with this U.S. Open, they got matches starting at midnight. That's a disgrace. Start the matches earlier. They only want to do 2 afternoon matches.
Especially it being in the East Coast. It makes no sense.
It's in the East Coast. And these games, you're talking about a rating. You're not getting a rating, number one. And two, nobody's in there because nobody wants to be there at 2 in the morning. Start the games earlier. They do it for every other tournament. I don't know why they don't do it for the U.S. Open. Nonetheless, it's been a fun show today. College football week 1 Saturday. Packed day. No NFL. So you got USC, LSU tomorrow at 7:30 as well on Sunday night. Notre Dame, Texas A&M tonight at 7:30. Miami and Florida in Gainesville, 3:30. Florida plus 2.5 in that game. Home underdogs, keep in mind. And finally, Georgia and Clemson kicking things off at noon. Georgia, number 1. Clemson, number 15. That should be a fun one, I think. Off the top, watch Clemson compete in that game. I think they got to prove something in the ACC. They're not going to beat them. Hang around. That'll be my thoughts on that. Been a fun show. I appreciate Damian Perez getting up here on a Saturday morning. Getting behind the glass, making sure the show goes over the air. My name has been Colin Russo, filling in for Josh Cohen on the Hard Rock. Excuse me. On the Saturday tailgate.